The games are underway, and DraftKings is bringing you to the podium. DraftKings free-to-play pools are available every day of the games in Tokyo and offering a free shot at up to $50,000 in total cash prizes. That's up to $50,000 up for grabs, and the best part is that it's free-to-play. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during that day's events and track your results throughout the evening to see will you achieve victory. Questions will range from medal count to questions specific to the USA team. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get a free shot at up to $50,000 in total cash prizes every day of the games in Tokyo. Head to the DraftKings pool page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings.
Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for full details.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bolts broadcast. My name is Mike Mitchelson. Chase Croshaw with me today. Chase, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing? I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
It's like a Wednesday, so hump day. So yeah, I'm doing all right. I have to say though, I'm excited because you said that the family's up north. That means some more drinking. However, I'm gonna have to keep you accountable. Or I'm going to have you keep me accountable is what I should have said, because the last time your parents were up north and we came over 15 beers down the drain, did not treat me well the next day. Also, we can talk about this because our friends don't listen to this show. You cannot leave me with Cam if he corners me.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, I didn't leave you with them last time. You guys happened to all just go outside, and I was still inside. Then all of a sudden, it was half an hour later, and you guys were still outside. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but you should have noticed that, everyone's here except for Cam and Mike.
How's vibing, all right?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. John is really the one that left me.
Yeah, he ditched you.
Our buddy Cam, cool guy, but when he drinks, he tends to get a little emotional. And so, me, I'm not a big emotions person, especially when I'm drinking. I'm just trying to have fun. Give me the 2010s, like Akon type music. Like, let me just vibe. Yeah, some of that got stolen from me the last time because I was trying to calm a friend down. So make sure you keep track of that. And I want you to know that because you didn't last time, if he corners you, I'm sorry. I'm not helping you.
It'll all work out.
Absolutely. And you were talking about what's happening down in Detroit. Spittin' Chiclets is gonna be there.
Yeah, Spittin' Chiclets, little like ball hockey tournament thing going on downtown. They're gonna be at Old Shillelagh's, a bar down there. My brother's gonna be down at the bar. It's one of his buddy's birthday, and that's where he wanted to go. And coincidentally enough, it's just gonna be the same place where Spittin' Chiclets is. So maybe my brother will get a picture with a couple of the guys. Maybe I'll go down on Saturday, check out the ball hockey tournament. I think it'd be kind of cool. Just, there's already people signed up to play and stuff, but it'd be cool to go down there, just meet the guys, get a little drunk before we get even more drunk,
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe go check it out. I'm sure that there's probably not many Detroit listeners on a Tampa show, but if there is, hey, you might see us down there. But on today's episode of the Bolts broadcast, unfortunately, it's going to be a quicker show. And there's really nothing happening with the NHL as a whole, but also the Tampa Bay Lightning. Not much news.
No, we don't have jack to talk about. I mean, we can talk about non-hockey related stuff, but this episode just kind of want to keep it hockey centric. Once we get a little bit more in the season, like another week or two, we'll probably have to venture off a little bit. But there is a couple things that are worth mentioning here. So we'll bring those up. It'll just be a shorter epi.
Absolutely. We'll start off with who was my favorite coach as of last year, John Tortorella. Obviously not coaching the Columbus Blue Jackets anymore. However, still going to be seeing his face around.
Yeah, he's joining ESPN. You know, kind of funny because he yells at the media, swears at the media, doesn't give them answers, and now he's joining the media. I know a lot of people don't like that, but I think his personality is funny, so I have no issue with it. I think it'll be entertaining. It'll be a different type of analysis, so I'm all for it.
Yeah, and anything to see John Tortorella still in the limelight, I absolutely love because, again, was my favorite coach. Obviously not anymore. He's not coaching, but Tortorella, a pretty silly guy. So excited to see him join this already fantastic cast that ESPN has put together. Next up, Ryan Murray, a former second overall pick signing with the Colorado Avalanche.
On a cheap contract too, only like $2 million a year, or for, I think it's only a 1 year deal anyway, but like that's the type of signing, type of contract that you get that really helps you push you kind of over that edge. They're already a borderline, you know, championship winning type of team. They've got everything in line, especially now that they have what's his nuts, Kemper and Nett now. So they've got everything, you know, set up. They're ready to roll. I think this is a fantastic signing. He's going to play top 4 minutes for them. He's going to be an analytical darling because he is a very good analytical defenseman. I just really love the signing. You know, I like Ryan Murray as a player. Is he a second overall pick type of guy? Maybe not, but he's a very good NHL defenseman at the end of the day.
Well, in that draft, he is, because that draft is just, whoo, Nail Yakupov, Griffin Reinhardt,
Alex Galchenyuk,
like so many players that not necessarily fantastic picks. But I was going to ask, Chase, what's the problem with Ryan Murray? Did I miss something when he was in New Jersey? Because I'll admit it, I am not too keen on keeping up with the New Jersey news. Not a team I love by any means, but he seemed like he was a good top four defenseman in Columbus. I don't know what would have changed. And then you said he's going to continue to play top 4 minutes. He's an analytical darling. Why is he? It seems like teams weren't interested. Only $2 million. Like, what's up there?
He doesn't really pass the eye test at the end of the day. I think he could have made a little more money elsewhere. Like, for example, he's making less than Tucker Pullman's making in Winnipeg. And like those are... Yeah, like there's quite a few tiers between those types of players. So I think Murray's taking a little less for a year, go try to win a championship with this team. And then if he likes it, maybe he stays on a little bit longer. But he also really he really isn't a guy that passes the eye test incredibly well. You watch him play and it really doesn't feel like he's doing a whole lot out there. But he's got incredible vision. He's got great control of the game. You know, he's really good at slowing things down. And those types of defensemen that just slow things down, they don't really pop off either. They're not providing the big hits, the incredible block shots. They're not deking through the team. They're the ones that just are helping maintain the game. And those guys don't get a lot of love. And that's kind of the guy that he is, really.
Yeah, and those are the guys that complete a Stanley Cup winning team. You know,
yes,
we brought in our David Savard at the trade deadline, and he was a big piece to our penalty kill and helped us capture back-to-back Stanley Cups, or at least the second one of the back-to-backs. So going to be a tough Avs team to face. We knew that for a while. We've been talking about the Avs, also the Rangers, that these teams are really set up for a lot of success here in the future. So them adding a piece like Ryan Murray, it seems like they are now looking to make that push. They made it to the, what was it, second round before dropping to Vegas last year. So
yep.
Definitely a team to watch out for. Still being led by Nathan MacKinnon, who is an absolute stud. But Chase.
And is a psychopath real quick. I know I sent it to you and you told me you read the first little bit, but the rest of it, like this guy is just bonkers. So Nikita Zadorov was giving an interview, and it was in Russian, so it was translated over, but kind of talking about how MacKinnon, you know, he pays $50,000 a year to a dietitian. He pays a personal chef $1,000 a day. He also gives, he pays for a physio, what the hell's the word I'm looking for? Not the chef. The chef, he pays like $100,000 a year. The guy who pays $1,000 a day, it's almost like a therapist, doctor. I guess.
Yeah.
There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. So, you know, on top of doing those things, he doesn't drink any alcohol. He only eats certain foods. He doesn't eat sugary shit. He made like the team get rid of normal pasta and get like chickpea pasta. There's no more white sauce. In practice, if you miss a pass, he comes over and screams at you and berates you. He is always the hardest working guy. He can be an asshole to his teammates, but like he does it in a way where he's not like, he's not an asshole. He's just being an asshole. He's doing it in a way where he wants perfection. He wants to win. He's frustrated with, you know, him being in the career or him being in the NHL as long as he has in his career, not having a championship yet, not having a Stanley Cup Finals appearance yet. You can tell he's frustrated. You could tell by his end of the season press conference. And yeah, he's just an absolute psychopath on the ice. But like that's the type of person that like Sidney Crosby is. Sidney Crosby isn't necessarily screaming at his teammates, but like everything's so methodical, so planned out and so like serial killer-ish that like that's what drives him to be great. And I mean, that's good signs for McKinnon to go down and win a championship down the road. But like, enjoy life a little bit, man. Come on.
Just giving his team a little hard love. Also, big question. If he doesn't eat sugary stuff, and like we now all see this with the interview, what happens to his Timmy Ho commercials? Obviously, him and Sidney Crosby, big Tim Horton commercial guys. What's happening?
Yeah, I'm sure it's not going anywhere. I think Tim Hortons is very happy to have Nathan McKinnon as their face, because at the end of the day, he still is, seems like a great dude, and he is good, like socially and good in the community and stuff.
Right. They're just gonna do like a ball of dirt instead of a chocolate donut hole. Instead of that, you're just gonna chew dirt.
God, that sounds awful.
Well, it's better than eating sugar, according to him. So,
I guess so.
All right, Chase. Well, let's move into the big beef of this episode. We're gonna look at your top five prospects for next year's draft, the 2022 draft. In case you didn't know, it's like 300 and something days away, but we want to get just, you know, an early jump on it. Also, Chase, I'm sure you'll mention, but it's a really bad draft class and the top name, not going to be a guy to look out for whatsoever. But let's run through it.
These next two draft classes are going to be unlike anything we've ever seen in the NHL. Holy hell. The top end talent is fantastic. The talent through the first, second round is fantastic. There's going to be guys going in third, fourth, fifth, sixth round. They're going to prove to be first round talents just because of how tremendously deep this group is. So I'm gonna start with the number one guy, a guy that's been talked about. I mean, if you're a hockey fan, you have any interest in prospects, you know his name. It's Shane Wright.
Who?
He's this kind of okay player. He kind of does literally everything you could imagine on the ice to a perfect level. Just kind of average. A little bit about Shane Wright, for example. This year, you know, he didn't get to play any hockey. He didn't go overseas. It's not as easy for, you know, like 16-year-olds to go do that. So he didn't really get to play too much this year. He goes to the U18s and, you know, not having any regular season games played this year or any whatever. He casually puts up 9 goals, 5 assists and 14 points through 5 games of the U18s en route to being, you know, as well as being their captain. This dude, if Patrice Bergeron had potential to score 120 points a season, that is Shane Wright. He is a tremendous all-around player. He has a great 200-foot game. He's a true playmaker who shoots the puck like a true goal scorer. Like, there's literally nothing he can't do right. Like, it's just a ridiculous, incredible talent. I would do everything in my power if I was not a Stanley Cup contending team to make sure I get this guy.
Before we move on to, you know, number 2, 3, 4, 5, I want you to put this in, perspective. If you have Shane Wright, like he is right now, coming into the draft, versus Connor McDavid coming into his draft class, who are you leaning? Is this that type of caliber of player that you would put him up against Connor McDavid when he was coming out?
100%. Like, that's not an easy decision to make. At the end of the day, the NHL is driven by offense, and Connor McDavid probably has, of any person on the planet right now, probably has the most offensive upside as a player, even with guys, you know, in the 2023 class looking as spectacular offensively as they are. I still think McDavid's that guy. So you probably got to go McDavid, but there is a fair argument to make about Shane Wright as a prospect compared to McDavid as a prospect. I mean, like, this dude, he literally does everything right. He was on pace to break McDavid's scoring numbers as an exceptional status player. He's on pace to maybe even break John Tavares' numbers, who holds the record. Through 58 games, he had 39 goals, 27 assists, 66 points as a 15-year-old in the OHL. But the season got cut off, of course, before he could finish it out. He just is ridiculous. He's going to be on the U20 team this year. He's probably going to be their best player. if there was anybody to be an underage guy who's captain of that team, it's Shane Wright as well. Like, there is probably no more natural leader as a kid than Shane Wright.
A lot of high praise for Shane Wright there. And we talked about Connor McDavid. Well, when looking at the 2015 class, Connor McDavid was the clear number one, just like Shane Wright. However, there was also a number two who was a phenomenal prospect in their own right in Jack Eichel. We have that here as well with Matthew Savoy.
Yeah, and I've seen some people try to say that Matthew Savoy is maybe not quite that guy. I've seen a couple people try to put him as, you know, maybe the third or fourth guy, but I would safely, very, 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 very safely say he's my number two. And I don't really, like, it's possible someone jumps him, but, like, right now, I still think, you know, it's tier one, Shane Wright, tier two, Matthew Savoy, then tier three, there's a couple guys. Matthew Savoy, he's more of that offensive threat. He is more of that, like, Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon type of hybrid type of guy. You know, he takes a lot of the best things from each of those guys. So he's not as strong defensively, but he's got tremendous speed, a great set of hands. He just knows how to score. You know, as a 15-year-old in WHL, he had 7 assists through 22 games. You know, it's not bad at all. It's not easy to play junior hockey as a 15-year-old. Shane Wright obviously is an exceptional player, which is why he dominated the way he did. But Matthew Savoy went to a Winnipeg team, got some ice time, got played when he could, got absolutely murdered on the ice at one point, was able to come back and do okay. Obviously didn't get to really play in the WHL this year because he went to the USHL. But as a 16-year-old there, you know, 21 goals, 38 points through 34 games. I was one of the better players in the USHL. I mean, the dude's just got every offensive tool that you need. So if you're not picking Shane Wright first overall and you get second overall, you're going to be a little mad. But at the end of the day, if you can get Matthew Savoy, you're going to be pretty happy.
And I would assume that you would easily take Matthew Savoy first overall if he was in this year's draft with the Owen Power class.
Yeah, it's not even close. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's look at your number three. It's a Finnish kid that has a lot of ties to Canada.
Yeah, so Brad Lambert, his dad is a former pro hockey player. His dad is born in Canada, played mostly overseas, married a Finnish flight attendant, and that's where he settled. Sure enough, had his kid over there in Finland. So Brad Lambert, Canadian name, Canadian roots, but Finnish kid. And holy shit, this kid is just special. I mean, he made his jump to the Finnish league, you know, as a 15-year-old that year. He played 4 games, had 2 assists while he dominated in the U-20s. This last season, he played all year in the top Finnish league. 15 points in 46 games on a kind of underwhelming team at JYP. As a 16-year-old, that's some pretty special numbers. He went to the U-20s. He had 4 points in 7 games. He had 5 points in 5 games in the U-18s. Like, this dude, he is a true dynamic offensive threat. I mean, he's got a ridiculous set of hands. He skates well. He, you know, kind of like what I've said with Shane Wright, Matthew Savoy so far, he's just got this offensive ability, this knack for finding the puck, for putting the puck to the back of the net, for finding his teammates. Another guy who I would easily take first overall in this draft class, like, not even close. The other guys, he's a really tremendous player. And yet again, you're going to kick yourself if you don't get Shane Wright or Matthew Savoy. But Brad Lambert is going to be about any other team's number one center, too.
There's been a lot of highly drafted Finnish players over the past couple of years. You got your Mikko Rantanens, your Patrick Laines, your Barkovs, your Pettersons. Does Brad Lambert compare to any of these recent players we've seen come out of Finland?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a little different because, like, he's, you know, a lot of those guys you mentioned, they are a little more prominent defensively, too. You know, that's something that's very, like desired out of Finnish hockey, is being a good offensive weapon while being very prominent defensively. Lambert's a little different from that because his defensive game isn't quite, you know, an elite level. He's still very serviceable. He's someone who's not going to be a liability defensively, but his offensive output is going to be, like, absurd. It's a borderline point per game guy every year.
All right. And then your number four player, could be on hockey name of the day. Is it Juraj Slafkovský?
It is Juraj Slafkovský. Look at that. And this dude is a unit. He is going to be playing full time in the Finnish league this year. He is a Slovak kid. If you're paying attention to the Hlinka Gretzky, we're going to talk about it a little more after we're done talking about these guys. You might know his name. But yeah, Juraj Slafkovský, he's my number four at 6'4", 225. He's probably going to be a winger. He's got some ability to play center in the NHL, I think. But, like, he's, you know, those type of builds are usually wingers. He's a true power forward. He skates incredibly well. He's just got these great offensive tools. You know, just based on his Hlinka Gretzky performance so far through 2 games, 3 goals, 3 assists, 6 points, he just has a knack for finding the back of the net. He's someone who I think is going to be a perennial 40, or not necessarily perennial, but a guy who was a candidate to score 40 goals every year while also playing that kind of tough game. You know, imagine like Jamie Benn in his prime. Like, this is the type of guy Juraj Slafkovský is.
What a dream. Only 17 years old, and he's already 6'4", 225. We're just sitting here at freaking 23 years old and we're still under 6 foot. Gosh, you hate to see it. But guy's got the frame to be an NHLer already and dominating in the Hlinka Gretzky. But moving on to number five, got a good old American boy with one of the best names in the draft.
Yeah, dude, Rucker McGroarty. There's some great names in this draft class, and there's a couple more guys we're going to mention, basically kind of off their names, too, that I want to mention them, and won't be go too much in depth like these top five. But Rucker McGroarty, this kid, I've seen some arguments for him being just the number three player in the class. I got him at number five. Really, 3, 4, and 5, I don't have an issue with him flipping around, but I think as of right now, this is kind of where I stand. McGroarty played the program this year with the U-17s. He had 35 points to 34 games, and then he finished out the year with the U-18s, still putting up 12 goals, 19 points to 30 games. So being a younger guy, 16, 17-year-old with the U-18s, to produce like he did, that, you know, it doesn't happen very often. Just to kind of show his offensive skill set, you know, his last year of AAA hockey, through 63 games, he had 82 goals, 78 assists for 160 points. Yeah, he is ridiculous offensively. This draft class, he's the number one overall pick. He's the number one overall pick in most draft classes, but that's just how talented this top five is in this draft class. It really is incredible. I think McGroarty is a guy, you know, all four, five of these guys are legitimate candidates to play in the NHL right away. You know, all five of them probably won't, but like this dude just got everything else that you want. You know, he's got solid size, 6'1", 198, incredible skater. He's going to be a true center. Like, what else do you want out of a fifth overall pick? Just ridiculous.
Yeah, but you know what sucks is, as a Tampa podcast, it's going to be great. Going to be going for our third cup in a row. But we're talking about how great this draft class is. Unfortunately, not going to have a chance at anyone in it, or at least earlier on. So it's fun to look at these kids. But as a Tampa fan, it's kind of like seeing the chocolate cake that's locked behind a glass case or something that you can't have. You want it so bad, but you just can't have it. But still going for that third cup in a row, so we're all right with that. We'll take that. But Chase, let's mention some other names that are in this draft class. The guy I like the most, Seamus Casey, but continue to talk about some of the other guys.
So Seamus Casey, the last one I'm going to kind of go in depth on a bit, because he is actually my number six. This is the first defenseman on this list, the first guy we're forwards, and he's my number six. I'm not going to go too heavy because he's still got some like work to do in his game, but he was a former forward who moved back to D. He played for Florida Alliance, so he's a Florida kid. Hockey's really booming down there, obviously we all know, but youth hockey's really been booming down there the last couple of years. So he's a Florida Alliance kid. He is just stupid. Like his offensive output as a defenseman, I mean, it really is incredible. He's someone who, like, he could easily be your team's number one defenseman. You know, with the U-17s this year, 36 points through 46 games as a defenseman, that's pretty damn good. And he's got an awesome name too. So he's a guy that is very easy to root for. Other than him, you got some great names like Maddox Fleming, Logan Cooley, and then Kenta Isogai actually too. So Kenta Isogai is a Japanese prospect who he's probably not going to be a first round pick, but first 2-3 rounds, like for sure. He's got some legitimate skills. It's kind of disappointing because last year I thought Yusaku Ando was going to have a chance to be drafted in this last draft class, but he wasn't. The year before, Yusato, same thing. But Isogai is probably the better prospect of that bunch. He's got good size, good speed. He's got the right tools that you need. So I think a team's going to be willing to take a chance on him. And then last name I do want to mention is Dylan Duke's brother, our draft pick in the fourth round, Tyler Duke. He's a defenseman, same exact skill set as Dylan Duke, but just on the back end. It could be someone that's really fun to root for in the future.
Absolutely. And hey, I love seeing the hockey minority countries like Kenta Isogai. So, it's very fun to look at this stuff already, even though it's a long ways away. But hey, we're prospect guys. We've told you that multiple times. So finally, for the last little bit of this episode, we're going to do a little Hlinka Gretzky Cup check-in. What do we got going on, Chase? I know the U.S., they haven't been doing too hot, currently sitting at 2-2. But what else you got going on there?
Yeah, so anybody who knows what this is, it's a pretty prominent U18 tournament that happens before the season every year. Usually Canada's in it too, but this year Canada is opted out of it with COVID stuff. So that sucks because we could see Shane Wright, Connor Bedard, Matthew Savoy, you know, those names I just mentioned. We could all see them here, but instead we're not. It is what it is. Right now the Slovak team is just dominating. Slovakian hockey is making a comeback in a big way. You know, when the Czech Republic kind of broke apart, most of the good hockey players stayed on the Czech side. But Slovakia, you know, they've really figured out the last few years. This team is absolutely dominant. You know, Simo Nemec, he's going to be a, you know, top 10 pick lock easily. Dalibor Dvorsky, he's got 10 points through two games, 6 goals, 4 assists from Slovakia. He's going to be a top 5 pick in 2023 as a lock. It's just a talented group of players. Matvey Mishkov, he's got 4 goals, 3 assists, 7 points through two games. There's just been some real dominant underage, you know, performances. It's been a pretty exciting tournament thus far. You know, even like, some of the German guys are performing okay. You know, they got routed by Slovakia, but they've got some young talent that's very much worth watching. It's really promising for these next 2 years. You know, talked about it just before I started going into those prospects, how promising these next draft classes are. And you're showcasing a lot of talent here in this tournament, and it really is ridiculous. The NHL is in for a crazy influx of talent.
And that's so nice to see, because there's been these draft classes like this one, and what was it, the 2017 draft class? Was it 2017? Yeah. The Nico Hischier one?
Yeah.
Where, you know, yep, there's some good players, but it's kind of been a little lackluster. And when you look at the draft classes like 2015, there's so many stars that have come out of there. We already know about Jack Eichel, Connor McDavid, Mikko Rantanen, Matt Barzal, so many other guys. So to see all this talent coming in is awesome. And then today, you were talking about routing Chase, U.S., takes out Germany 10-0. You'd love to see that.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I didn't check any scores yet today, but yeah, that's good stuff. You know, this U.S. team in this tournament, they like not this U.S. team, but the U.S. team in general in this tournament, they usually pick it up in the second half. They kind of start slow. So it's kind of what we're seeing happen. You know, there's a couple of guys that are some pretty talented names that are left off the list, which is a little surprising, but it is still a very good roster. You know, another name that is going to mention, he's for the 2023 draft class. He doesn't get talked about a lot. Hunter Brustewitz, I really love him too. He's a Michigan kid. So, you know, a little bit of special place in my heart, but he's got a really special offensive toolkit in the back end. He's going to be a pretty high pick in 2023, I would say.
You think Slovakia is going to close out the Hlinka Gretzky with, you know, taking it home?
If it's not the U.S., I hope it's Slovakia. They definitely have a chance. I mean, they look like the best team in this tournament. So I really would not doubt it at all. That'd be pretty cool.
All right. Well, we'll keep you guys updated on that. Let you know who wins once the championship is decided. But we're going to move on now to the Hockey Name of the Day segment. We got another Arthurs. Does that mean that's Arthur and they just dropped the H? I've had that happen to me before. So I'm going to go Arthur Homjakovs.
Arthurs is actually how it's pronounced.
Yeah, sure it is.
Homjakovs. Arthurs Homjakovs. Yes, he's a Latvian. I know you love your Latvians. Ooh. A Latvian forward playing in the Hockey of 10 this upcoming year. Played in Latvia last season. Hockey of 10 is like the third level in Sweden. Still some solid hockey. It's where our former guests Ethan Cardwell and Jack Thompson played this year. But Arthurs, you know, he's 23 years old, 5'10", 172, nothing too special. He's played a bit internationally. He played on the U20 team for Latvia. So he's got some, you know, experience, and he's clearly a solid player, but, you know, he's probably just at about his ceiling already at 23 years old.
I mean, we know we love Latvians, or at least I love Latvians here. We had a whole Hockey Name of the Day segment basically dedicated to Kristaps Gudlevskis because, I mean, when you talk Latvian, you got to talk about him. So a lot of fun, but good name. And that's going to do it for the episode. Chase, hit him with an outro.
As always, I want to thank you guys for listening. If you want to check us out on Patreon, support us that way, we really appreciate it. Nothing required, just a way to get some different content from the network. If you want to follow us on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast, that is at Bolts Broadcast. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. That's at HockeyPodNet. While you're at it, follow WNP on Twitter at WNP Sports Pod. That's WNP Sports Pod. That way you're getting your hockey talk, you're getting your football talk, you're getting all the talk in the world that you might need. Go to thehockeypodcastnetwork.com, find all the podcast network right there. Boom, click the logo, listen easy peasy lemon squeezy. Make sure to go check out our blogs as well. There's some fun stuff to read. Wherever you're listening, rate us 5 stars, send us your questions, comments, concerns, and whatever you do, do not forget to use code THPN when you sign up for DraftKings.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.